right, James chapter 1. James is a very practical letter written to followers of Jesus and how to live out our faith in the Lord. James chapter 1, and I want to begin reading in verse 16. Let me get there myself. James chapter 1 and verse 16. And God willing, today and next week, I'll share a message out of the scripture here in this book of James. James chapter 1, beginning verse 16, we read these words. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is not wishy-washy. In other words, he's not up one day down, you know, he's a rock, all right? But he says that every good gift and every perfect gift is from him. Then he goes on in verse 18 and says, of God's own will he brought us forth. Brought forth means it's like a delivery. In other words, God, one of his very good and perfect gifts is new life in Christ. He brought us forth, and notice it says here, he brought us forth by the word of truth. God's word is that seed of truth that must be implanted in the heart for the Holy Spirit to bring life to, for it to grow into new life. That's one reason Scripture is so important, not only to bring us into that life, but to nurture and feed that life, to build it up. And then he says, he brought us forth so that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures, because he wants all people to come to know the Lord. And so he says, because you have been brought forth into new life, because you have received this good and perfect gift, verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. One translation says, it does not produce the righteousness God desires. And that phrase here in verse 19 says, be swift to hear and slow to speak. Some translations just simply word it as be quick to listen, slow to speak. And so that's the message this morning. Real simple, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Notice how in that verse we just read there, the last verse, that being quick to speak is connected to being quick to wrath. quick-tempered, quick to anger, quick to talk, quick to speak. And I don't know if you've heard this phrase or not. This is, when I read a scripture like this, here's what comes to mind. Easier said. Okay, y'all get it, right? Easier said than done. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. You know, I appreciate all the, hey, think before you speak. And I know that's great advice. But in the heat of the moment, we're not always, you know, ready for that advice. We need the power of God's Holy Spirit. That's why he set it up by saying, you've received new life. God's Spirit is within you. His Word is in you. Now, because of that, be quick to listen, slow to speak. Would you say that with me? Be quick to listen, slow to speak. He starts off that scripture in verse 16 saying, do not be deceived. Self-deception is very dangerous. And then in a like vein, I guess, of thought over in verse 26, James, still chapter 1, verse 26 says this, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. And Kim, she didn't know what I was going to be sharing this morning. But, of course, as we think about our culture, and it doesn't even have to be culture. Let's set that aside for a moment. Just in our own personal lives, we have moments where we have disagreements and we feel anger and we have all of these emotions going on. And in those times, man, when we see it, when we feel it, it's, you know, we really need the power of God's Holy Spirit in order to live this out. And it, again, it's a great principle. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. There's a proverb that goes with this too. To me, it really fits. It's Proverbs 18:2, and it says, I'll just read it to you if you stay there in James. It says this, fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. But just think about this a moment. How much peace and understanding could we sow into our marriages? How much peace and understanding could we sow into our family relationships and just into the lives of others if we really live by this principle? How brightly would we shine the light of Jesus if the world saw us living by be quick to listen, slow to speak? So God, I just believe this is a word for us that's in season right now. And if you would just turn to chapter 3, because still in this letter, James, again, very practical and just brings it out here in verse 2. I'll read verse 2 and then drop down and read a couple of other verses. James chapter 3 and verse 2 says, "For we all stumble in many things." Wow. Not surprised I didn't get a loud amen on that one, but y'all just didn't want to admit it, did you? We all stumble. Lord knows. Aren't you glad he knows how we're made? He remembers, he says, that we're dust and we have our weakness. Jesus even said on the night he was betrayed and arrested, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." We all stumble in many things, but if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature man, able to also bridle the whole body. Just think about that. That's a powerful truth. If we can control, if we can bring our tongue under the control of God's Holy Spirit, we can control the rest of our body. Wow. That's a powerful truth right there. So he says that if it's perfect means that we're Christ-like, because the Lord, of course, had his tongue under control. But verse 8 says this, "But no man can tame the tongue." No man can tame the tongue. "It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God," or God's image and likeness. "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Would you turn to Matthew chapter 12? You say, "Brother Rocky, I don't get it. Be quick to listen, slow to speak." But then you just read, "No man can tame the tongue." So what are we supposed to do here? The real problem is not our tongue. Jesus tells us where the real problem lies in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, Jesus is speaking. Let me get back there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, he says, he's speaking to a group of people. He calls them brood of vipers because they were basically saying he was casting out demons by the power of the Holy Spirit or by the power of a demon. And Jesus said, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." The issue is not our mouth as much as it is our heart. We've got to get our heart right with the Lord. Because what is in abundance in our heart eventually comes out. Someone said, "What's in the well of the heart eventually comes up the bucket of the mouth." And then he goes on in verse 35, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Because the words reveal the heart. It's not just about the words, it's about the heart. Chapter 15, would you turn over there, still in Matthew? Matthew chapter 15. Again, Jesus is still speaking. Verse 18 says this, Matthew 15, 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." Jesus said all of these things are what come out of the heart, and that's what really defiles someone. But we have good news this morning. Thank God he still changes hearts. Dr. Jesus still does heart transplants. And that's what we need. We need a change of heart. We need him to change our heart and to work that in us. And God will do it if we're willing to change. That's the key. Let me just pause here for a second to make sure that we understand that we can be empowered by God's Holy Spirit. And here is how. First of all, we have to recognize our need. Not every person is indwelt by God's Spirit. Jesus said you must be born again or born from above. The Bible says throughout Scripture that God is holy. He is holy. He's sinless. The Scripture says God is a just judge, and he does punish sin. And the penalty for breaking God's commandments, which we have all done, is death. If we break God's word, his law, we die. Death is separation. Spiritual death is separation from God, and physical death is when our spirit is separated from our body. So it's possible to have physical life but be spiritually dead because we're separated from God. Okay? So, and if we stay in that situation, in that state, then we are not only separated from God in time, we're separated from God forever in eternity. But the Scripture doesn't just say God is holy, it also says God is love. And thank God, he loved us so much that he punished his own son for our sins. The judgment has already been executed. The penalty has already been paid. The sentence served, and it was served on Jesus, who willingly left the glories of heaven, came to this earth to live a sinless life, to show us how to love and how to live God's way, and laid his life down as a sacrifice on the cross. No one took his life. He laid it down willingly and allowed himself to be mistreated in every way, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, rejected, hung to a cross for 6 hours, gasping for breath, bearing the judgment for our sins. And he died physically. But on the cross, he defeated death, or he defeated the devil, and he defeated sin. And 3 days later, he came up out of that tomb, and he did defeat death. And now he is back on his throne in heaven, reigning from on high, willing to save all who will call upon him in faith. Now, when we believe God and receive Jesus as Lord, then we are not only forgiven, we are cleansed, we are indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and he begins that work of transforming us to grow more like Christ. It's a lifelong process. We never arrive in this life, but we can cooperate with him. So it is God, it is the power of his Holy Spirit. See, as we grow in Christ's likeness, he helps us to be quick to listen, slow to speak. He will help us to do his will if we're willing. I want to ask you to turn over to Acts chapter 15. Just one more scripture here. Acts chapter 15, still there in the New Testament. I believe it's the fifth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 15. If you'll hold your spot there just a moment. Growing in Christ's likeness. Before I read this scripture, it's growing in Christ that will, I think, Kim, I don't remember if you said it exactly now or how you worded it. Growing in Christ's likeness not only will empower us and help us to be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to get angry, but it will help produce unity in the body of Christ. And if the body of Christ is unified, we will be more effective in this world. I've shared this before, but maybe it's a good time to share it now for those who haven't heard and maybe for those who are streaming. In 1995, I started taking youth groups to New York City for mission trips. And I went every year until just a couple years ago, I guess, not just youth. Eventually came the adults and, you know, others went. And in those early years, I worked with Times Square Church because they had several ministries there in the city. And over the years, I became acquainted with other ministries that some still have contact with, and God has opened doors for ministry to take place there. But in 1996, I went with a group. It was actually the second trip. I wasn't even planning on, well, yes, it was. I was planning on going on that one. And it was a smaller number because we had another team coming up the following month, I believe. And we had some time off. So I'll let them do a little sightseeing. And I'd go with them. So we went down to the World Trade Center. We went up on the Twin Towers. And when we came down, if you ever see like some of the old footage of what's called the plaza right there, we came down and there was a group there. And one of the brothers where we served food called the Upper Room, ministering to people just addicted out on the streets, had asked me, he was a black brother, and he asked me, he said, have you met the black Israelites yet? And I said, I never heard of the black Israelites. This is in 96. And then I think it was the next day we were there because we were having a little ministry later on that particular evening. So we came down, and I'm not trying to make fun of them to say this, but there were men dressed in garb. To me, the closest thing I could relate it to is like a Christmas nativity or like an Easter passion pageant. You know, I might have the robes like, hey, this is just kind of, it was the culture of the time. So we came down and there were some tables set up with, you know, different literature, pictures, so forth, and the guys were wearing this. And someone had a Bible and he was basically saying, you know, that the black race, they were the tribe of Judah. And they had it broken down. You know, each particular tribe was this particular ethnicity. And the only thing I could relate it to, maybe that some of you may be familiar with, you've heard of like the white supremacist, or there was a, trying to remember, there was another name for it, but basically like some would teach like those like white people are the chosen people. They were the lost tribes of Israel, and they're the ones going around now, and it's the white people who are the chosen people. And they were basically saying the same thing. It was just, you know, a different color. And so we came down, you know, I was trying to listen, and some of them, like one of the young ladies with us, we were engaging, some of them going back and forth a little bit. And that they would pick certain scriptures, and that's where we have to know the word for ourselves, and not just a verse here and there. Because everyone who says they're following the Lord, if they believe the Bible at all, they're going to use a verse or the Bible somehow. That's not the overall teaching. I don't care what color your skin is. God knows the Jewish people, and whether you're Jewish or not, everyone can be grafted in. And so anyway, we were, you know, you could almost sense, what's the word? I don't know if animosity, but you could sense the emotion rising up a little bit as some were going back and forth, and they were even, you know, just some of the language. And I wanted to just talk with someone. I didn't want to get in a screaming match. I wanted to just talk with someone, ask them, where are you coming? What about this verse? What about, and I was trying to do that. Anyway, people were, because when something like that goes on, and there's a lot of people there anyway, about 50,000 people just, you know, there every day, just going into Twin Towers, were there. And so some stopping and just join, you know, kind of growing the crowd a little bit. And so as all of this was taking place, right here in the middle, I'm standing right here, and there's the table and people all around. A black man walks right up to me like this and comes up to me. And I turn to him, and he says, pray with me. And so there in front of the Twin Towers at World Trade Center, we joined hands and prayed. And I prayed. And all this was going on, and it was like the atmosphere changed. And when I, you know, I had my eyes closed, my head bowed, and when I looked up after I finished praying, he had tears streaming down his face, coming down his cheeks. Then people who were not, you know, not our mission team or there with that particular group started coming up asking where we went to church. And God gave an opportunity for ministry right there in that setting. Really, a lot of it was because this one brother came up and was willing to pray. And isn't that the key? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. As brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is our common bond. And I know we have differences and all, I know that, but they don't have to separate us. We can come together around Jesus, and we can stand together for truth. And in Acts chapter 15, this is something that the early church went through this. Those first generation of followers of Jesus, man, the church could have fizzled right out if they didn't handle it correctly. But instead, they handled it right way, And we're sitting over here on the other side of the planet 2,000 years later because God moved by his Spirit and kept it going. So let me read it to you. Acts chapter 15. Let me read these verses. Acts 15, beginning in verse 6. The scripture says, "Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter." That's the first step is we got to be willing to come together. Brother Mark, you say it so often. Come, let us reason together. Let us reason together. God puts that invitation to us. How much more should we be willing to come together? He says they were willing to come together. And then verse 7, "When there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, 'Men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the good news or the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us.'" It's Jesus is for everyone. And then he says this in verse 12, "Then all the multitude kept silent and listened." They weren't yes, they were arguing, they were going back and forth, but they were willing to be quiet and to listen to each other too. I'm going to pause right there just a second. I'm going to come back and finish it. I'll share this real quick. Over recent weeks here, I've gotten together by a video format where we can see each other and hear each other online with three other brothers. And I invited them to join me for the purpose of hearing their own background and experience. I wanted to get their perspective, and I wanted to see how we could find common ground and pray together to move forward. And a couple of the men are here in the church, a Hispanic brother, I don't know if he prefers to say black American, African American, and a black American pastor here in the city who I'm friends with. And so we joined together. And I just thank God for their willingness. We shared and we talked. They shared some experiences with me. And one, the Hispanic man, kept emphasizing, it's so important to listen. It's so important to, we got to keep listening to each other. We got to keep listening to each other. And just sharing the willingness and sharing about things of where we can find common ground, what none of us stand for, and seeking to move forward. I just thank God for their heart. And if we're willing to do that, I'm telling you, the church could rise up and be a bright, shining light to the world around us. And that isn't that the ultimate key anyway? That it would be all to the glory of God and for his will. So let me continue on. He says this then in verse 15. "And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written." That's very important because we do share the common bond of Jesus if we know the Lord, but we want to submit to God's word as well. Because the unity is produced by God's Holy Spirit and by the word of God. We center together around truth. And then just a couple verses more, verse 25 says, "It seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul." Notice where they went from that dissension to one accord because they were willing to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Verse 30 and 31, and I'll close. "So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter, and when they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement." Isn't that something? We submit to the authority of God's word. We submit to the leading of God's Holy Spirit. God produces the unity. The Bible tells us we're to just endeavor to maintain and keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so this morning, I thank God that he reached out to us for reconciliation. And I would just ask, is there someone maybe you can reach out to? Maybe you can, it's a neighbor, maybe it's a friend, a brother or sister in church. I don't know. I just want to encourage you. Would you just think about it and just, are you willing? Are you willing to just say, hey, would you give me a little background? Have you experienced this or that? And then see if they would give you the same attention and respect and just share. Just sit down as friends. A lot of it's just getting to know people. And then we realize, sure, we have our differences, but I can appreciate your differences and your culture, and you can appreciate mine, and we can join together with Jesus. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. I used it this morning. I know I went into an area that seems to be so prevalent now, But this is not limited to just what we would call race or ethnical. This truth will work in our families. It will work in our marriages. Wouldn't it be something if we're willing to be quick to listen, slow to speak? And again, I know it's quick to rise up. And the scripture says that a harsh word stirs up anger, but a soft word, a soft answer turns away wrath. And I'm a man of God. I want to be led by God's Holy Spirit. But two people I love the most, Kim or even Brittany, if they were to just get up at me and raise their voice, it would be God's grace that I didn't want to get right there and maybe take it a little higher. And you see how it can fuel that way. And if we just, Jimmy and Karen Evans teach, you can only defeat a spirit with the opposite spirit. If you fight fire with fire, you just will get a bigger fire. And just being willing, can we just be willing to admit our need this morning? Can we just humble ourselves and say, Lord, where do I need your help? Where do I need your cleansing, your grace, your forgiveness, your healing in me, Lord, because I want to be used to extend your kingdom. I want to be an effective witness and testimony for you. I believe God is revealing these issues because they have not been dealt with properly his way. And I believe God is allowing us to bring it up so that we can deal with it his way, bring real healing and reconciliation, and move forward to the glory of God. This could be the church's greatest hour in this generation that has an outpouring of God's Spirit to bring many people to Jesus and welcome back the return of Jesus to this earth. Can we stand together and go to the Lord in prayer?